Warning. The following podcast may contain people who aren't very good at golf. You're listening to the Chili Dippers Podcast.
That's right. Thank you, Duke. You are once again listening to the Chili Dippers. I'm your host, Luke Disco Clark. Sitting on the line with me, as always, is a man who once fell asleep after a wedding ceremony because he went under the covers and just made it in time for the main meal at reception. David Cannon-Ralston, how are you going, mates?
Yeah, good. Yes, that's a little bit of bad luck involved in that. It was Goods and Jess's wedding, and the ceremony at the church was reasonably early in the day, so there was a pretty big gap between that and then the reception. So I thought I'd sneak home for a little nap, which is, the hotel was just around the corner. And I'm got a pretty good body clock on me naps. If I can say 30 minutes, bang, I'm back up. The problem was I got under the covers and that your body clock out. So my 30-minute nap turned into 2 or 3 hours, and then the ferry only left X amount of time, and I was a little bit late. I did walk in while everyone was formally sitting down to their meal, but that was unlucky. But yeah, they were very good about it. The happy couple there. Yeah, that was a good trip and a good weekend.
So that one was sent in by Mark. Whose wedding did you say it was?
Yeah, it was Mark and Jess.
Okay, yeah. So he's the one who sent that in.
His wedding. Yeah, because there I did. I walked in, everyone said, "Why are you late?" And I said, "I had a nap." And everyone said, "Well, a nap." But once you get under, if I napped on top of the bed, would have been fine. But yeah. Once you get under the covers, all bets are off.
The crucial era of under the covers.
Yes. And from an experienced napper, too, I should be better than that.
You are. Yes, you are. All right. Let's get on with this podcast. First off, we're going to apologize for not getting a podcast out Wednesday, as we usually do. Things got a little bit out of control.
Busy social life is interrupting our podcasting.
Yes. So what we thought we'd do, we were going to give it a miss and wait till next week, but then with the US Open being on starting, well, tonight actually, we're recording this on a Thursday night, so it's 7:30 right now. In about 4 hours, the coverage will start, so we thought we'd put out a little major podcast.
The US Open at Shinnecock Hills, yeah, we'll do a little preview, give a few thoughts on it, and you done any research?
Yeah, I was thinking about this just before I got home. One of the good things about this podcast is it forces you to do this sort of bit of research, and it makes me a lot more interested in the event coming up. So, you know, I've looked up a little bit about the club, have looked at a few images to get a feel for what the golf course is going to look like. What about yourself?
That's what I've got a lot of trivial, uninteresting crap about the course that I can go through if you want. Do you know where Shinnecock Hills is?
Yeah, it's in Southampton, New York, on Long Island. It's about, I think, about 140 Ks from New York City.
I've got it at 127 years old, the course.
Yes, also the first ever clubhouse in America, the oldest clubhouse built in America.
Well, the clubhouse runs really weird too. The clubhouse is old school. No telephones allowed. Not even allowed to have your phone with you. You can't display your phone. It's not allowed to come out of your pocket. But there is a phone room. But other than that, and also no money exchanges hands in the clubhouse. You just put it all on the name of the member that's there, sort of thing. So if you're a guest of Jim, you just sign it for Jim, and Jim pays at the end. So no money, no phones.
Yeah, righto. Okay.
Did you know that?
Yeah, no, I didn't know that. Did not read that. Another little interesting fact was apparently it was one of the first golf clubs to admit women. Back in 1983, they had a little 9-hole ladies-only track.
Yeah, well, when you say first, it was bought for $2,500. The 80 acres were bought 130 years ago. And the first 44 members paid $100 each.
Wow! Have you looked it up? It's a cool looking golf course. It's going to look good on television, I reckon, with its sort of like its, you know, like the contrast between the sort of the red and the green with the sort of the beige sort of rough. Sort of looks like a bit of a minimalist golf course. So it like hardly any trees on it.
It's a Lynx style.
It's very, very Lynxy. So typical of the sort of the US Open sort of courses that, you know, they sort of run with.
With the slope, what's a hard slope and what's an easy slope again? I can never remember.
Well, sort of around that one 19 to one sort of 25 is fairly easy. If you get up around the 140, it's starting to get pretty tough or very tough.
It's 140, the slope for this one.
Is it? Yeah. Well, they're saying that it's actually they're deliberately trying to make it one of the toughest sort of challenges in golf. Because apparently, obviously you would have read this, but they had this tournament back in 2004 and the fairways were a lot more narrow. And they apparently, it was some of the high scores in a major. Like, I think the average score was something like 9 over. There was one hole, I think it was the 17th, where they said was there was more triple bogeys on it than birdies because you just couldn't put on the greens.
The US Open, they do like to have it really difficult. They generally like it to be really hard. The other thing that I knew about the course is shirts have to be tucked in at all times and hats worn forward. You can't wear your hat backwards.
Jeez, that should nearly be the rule in every golf course, shouldn't it? We've got more for a backwards hat, but not on the golf course.
Yeah, fifth time the US Open's been there.
Yep.
And active members of the military are admitted free to the tournament this weekend.
Yeah, okay, that's good.
That's all I know about it. That's everything.
Well, you know, going back to sort of the late again, like when I was saying about how tight it was, after the 2004, they actually done a complete redesign of the course and widened nearly every fairway, like by a fairway too. Some of the fairways, you know, we're getting up to like 50 metres extra width.
That's massive re-widthening.
Yeah. But apparently that made a lot of the local people happy, but then the USGA come in and sort of said, no, we need to tighten this back. So they've brought it back in again. So it's still not as tight as it was back in 2004. And it's for a US Open, they're saying that it's still on the sort of the wider side, but it's nowhere near what it was. They've brought it all in, and especially in the, what I've heard a lot of people say is in the pro landing zone, it tightens right up sort of thing. And they also lengthened it. They lengthened it by about 450 metres.
It's only past 70, I think.
Yeah, past 70. So it's going to favour the long hitters. So I think it went from something like, actually, I've got it here, 696 yards to 745 yards, which is 6,807 metres, which is a 6% increase.
Wowee. So you say favour the long hitters. Who's going to win?
All right. Let's jump straight into that then. So we've got roughly 150 players in the event. I'm gonna give you four. I've got four sort of names here that I've actually just gone up to the pub before I came here to put some bets on.
Yep.
So I'll just give you the four people I've put the bets on. I've had my favourite is probably Ricky Fowler. I've put $20 at Ricky Fowler and JT, Justin Thomas, at 19 to 1 and 21 to 1.
Yep.
Now, with Ricky being 21, I was listening to a podcast coming home today, and there was a guy, Jeff Shoemage, sets all the stats in Vegas for the golf, and they asked him, who are you most scared of winning this thing? And he said Ricky Fowler's got the most money and the most tickets on him at the minute, and he said he's shortening him to 14 to 1. So over here they've got him at 21 still, so that, you're getting big overs for Fowler.
Yeah, well, that's what gambling's about, getting the good odds.
Yeah, yep. And the other two I put on was a bit of an outsider, was Fleetwood at 51s. So I've had 20 bucks on him to win over 1,000.
I've come into Fleetwood late too. I'm all over Fleetwood.
Yep. And then one of my favourites, Brooks Koepka, which I put a bet on most sort of tournaments. Again, all three of those blokes, long hitters. That was one of the things I was going for. And they reckon if you're off the fairways here, you can be in some big strife. They're a few of the longer, straighter hitters. I've left Dustin Johnson off that list, that's his specialty, he's long hitting, obviously. But he's just too short, you can't back that, not at nines.
And no one has ever won the tournament before the US Open and then won the US Open. And he obviously did just win the tournament before, so yeah. He would be defying 118 years of history if he did that too.
Yeah, well, along those lines, Koepka won... is the defending champion, and back-to-backs are sort of hard to do with that too as well. So that sort of makes him a little bit sort of... then I just had a couple of smaller bets on a few little top fives and that, like a Webb Simpson and a Tony Finau.
Yeah, I like Webb Simpson. And I've backed my boy Bryce DeChambeau.
Yeah, well, he was the other one, Chambeau, is it pronounced, your boy? Yep. He was the other one the bookie said that if he's the second one after Fowler, that if he wins, they're in some trouble.
Yeah, well, he's the one we spoke about the other week who's all his clubs are the same length. Yeah. And, gee, if he wins the US Open, won't they all be going into the shops and asking for all their clubs to be the same length?
Yeah, he's got value for Chili Dipper's favourite golfer at the minute.
Oh, yeah, he's mine. Yeah, I'm all over him. Great name. And I said, how he's the only one doing it with the clubs the same length. It's just bizarre that one guy will be doing it different and can be successful at it. And we've only got them different lengths because we've been doing it that way for 200 years. Doesn't mean it was right.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Now, I'm going to throw a couple of names at you and tell me what you think. We can't not talk. I know you're not a big fan of him, but we can't not talk about Tiger. What do you think of Tiger's chances in this?
Yeah, look, now I've seen him play a bit last week and his putting was horrible. He was missing a lot of easy putts. Apparently, he's still hitting the irons beautifully, but they were analysing his swing and he's scared of the hazards. And so when there was water on the left, he was over-hitting to the right. And they showed the completely different swing to when there was no hazard to when there was a hazard there.
Yeah,
and right. It was horrendous. So now he's cooked.
Yeah, yeah. And that's the thing. Like, say, he's hitting his irons. But the other problem is he's not driving the ball real well either. If he left his driver in the bag, he'd probably stand a bit of a chance. But then...
He drives it well on easy holes. But then when it said if there's a hazard left or right, he overcorrects and he's terrified of hazard and going the other way.
Yeah. I think if he left his driver in the bag and hit 3 wood all day, he might be a better chance. But but doesn't look like he can afford to do that on this golf course.
Who else you got for me?
Phil Mickelson. Now he's a 6 times runner up in this event,
yeah.
Which is fantastic. I reckon. I just want to see that continue.
I wonder how many of them are to Tiger.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. Putting better than ever, Phil. Just not many blokes at 47 years old win majors.
Yeah, yeah. I'd like to see him in the hunt. I'd like to see him top two or three in the last little bit, just to see if he's just that seventh runner up.
That'd be great. Yeah, yep, yep. But I very recognisable name, but I don't think Phil can get it done.
Yeah. Well, the other thing too is a lot of people. The funny thing is with this event, they're saying that sort of a lot of the players either haven't played it. Before or have played it when it was a lot harder. So, and I reckon it's a course that favours, well, most courses, obviously, that but particularly this one, that if you have played it before, just knowing what side of the fairway to be on, so you can attack the pins and all that sort of stuff.
Fair enough. Yeah. A good caddy will get them through that. Anyone else you're liking? I actually like your guy, Thomas.
Yeah, look, Thomas is, he's got all the tricks. Like, he's a long hitter. He's great up and down. So, and look, this is going by, like, I don't know this course, but I've just, what I've read in the last few days, what you need to compete at this. And he seems to have, he's got all the bag of tricks that take to sort of win an event like this. So that's why I was sort of fairly high on him. He's dropped back to number 2 in the world now.
Yeah, I see that. Yeah, Johnson got him in. The Englishman Rose will he's always thereabouts and was really solid early in the year. He's been a little off the boil the last little bit, but they reckon he'll come good for the Open as well.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to watching it. I'm looking forward to seeing how the actual course itself comes up on the television because some of the photos it looked like really undulating, but the TV normally doesn't bring that out. It makes it look a lot flatter as we sort of seen in the Masters.
The TV doesn't do them justice. Yeah, hearing Bill Simmons talk about walking the Masters course after watching it on TV for 10 years in a row, sort of saying how you think you know it, but then it's just so different when you walk it. So, I agree the TV doesn't quite do it justice.
I'll tell you the other one we've forgotten about, and I think that you can get some decent odds on is Jordan Spieth, and I know why he's at the odds because he's been putting pretty poorly lately. But putting is his strong suit, and that is something that can turn around pretty quickly.
It can.
He'll be one of those ones where we're going to, on Sunday he'll be one off the pace, and we'll be thinking, what, you know, he was 16-1. What were we thinking?
Yeah, no, fair enough. Yeah, and yeah, proving that he can win and all that too. But yeah, it looks good on. I can't wait for the, especially with so many. I've got so many bets, little bets here and there and all that. I can't wait for the numbers to start rolling in and to see how they go.
Did you have Rory in anything? Rory McIlroy?
No, I don't. I don't think so. I don't think I did.
Yeah, you know, I was thinking today, when was the last time Rory won anything? Like, we always put him out there. Like, when was his last major? What, 4 years ago or something? Like,
Oh, mate, I couldn't tell you. Yeah, well, as I said, when we were talking about him the other day, and that bloke said, since you started going to the gym and put on a heap of muscle, he hasn't played any good.
Yeah, it just seems like it just seems like forever since he was. Yeah, anyway, we'll see what happens. Right. There. That's another big name where you can get some decent odds on. It's always hard trying to pick a winner of a golf, I reckon.
The bookmakers love us betting on the golf. It's such a big field and all that sort of stuff. Yeah, they're counting their money. But yeah, it's all in good fun. But she's a tough way to make a living betting on golf.
Yeah, like you've only got to look at the Masters and that last one. Like one of my blokes I drafted was John Rahm, and I listened to a podcast the next day by a couple of people who actually know about golf, and they were both just like, nah, no chance, I'm off him. I really don't like him. He's not set up for this tournament. I'm like, oh, what a waste of a draft pick. And he finished top five. Like, it's just so hit or miss.
Yeah. You have got money on Rahm for the Open this week?
Have you? Yeah, I left him out for some reason.
All right. Yeah, well, I reckon we've given that a bit of coverage. That sounds good.
Yeah, so like I said, in a few hours, we'll be able to sit down and start actually watching this. By the time, we'll probably bring this podcast out on a Friday. So by the time people start listening to this, it'll already be through day one. But no, I'm really, really looking forward to it. I might sit up late tonight and catch a few holes.
Yeah, no, I won't get in on the TV here. I'll be just have to look at the computer.
Very, very good. All right. Well, that's probably all we need to talk about the US Masters for now. We might move straight on, Rolls, to a... we haven't done question time for a little while. We might answer a few listeners' questions. What do you think about that?
Yeah, good to go, mate. Ready to go.
All right, cue and intro music.
Welcome to question time.
Righto. Now, I think someone sent some questions in to both of us, but I didn't get a chance to read them as they'll come in through, but I asked you to jot them down and bring them to the table. Have you got those with you?
I've got a few, yeah. I've got those and a few others. So you've got no questions at all, so nah. I'm asking all the questions?
Nah, you're doing it all.
All right. Well, Ian Pope sent in a few the other day.
Shout out to you, Popes.
Right. So, first off, what would you change about each other's golf game?
Am I trying to make you better or worse?
I would like to think you're trying to make me better, yeah.
All right. The first thing I would probably change, I'd probably change your shoes first.
Yeah, yep.
You need some golf shoes. I think you need some new wheels. Yep. You're rocking the runners too, which is fine in the summertime, but when it gets a bit cold and winter, you need some golf shoes.
I am predominantly a summer golfer only. I've very much put on my winter coat at the moment and ready for 3 months of hibernation, but but fair enough, yep.
Shoes. I don't know whether this would help or not. It depends how you want this question worded. Like, if I thought I was a golf instructor, what would I change would be your balance and your follow-through, but I'm not sure that would improve your swing or not.
But they're fair points. Yeah, I thought you might have said me grip as well. I've still got the old baseball grip too.
Yes,
which
you do too. Yeah, I actually forgot all about that. Yeah, the baseball grip. But again, that's something that would be five steps backwards for six steps forward, yeah. Sort of thing. But yeah, actually, we might have to get a slow-mo version of your balanced follow-through finishing position and get it up on Instagram at some stage.
Yeah. Well, we've got a big we've got a Queensland trip where we're going to be playing four or five rounds coming up in the next few weeks. We might get some footage there.
Yes.
About your game, mm-hmm. I'd make you play a little quicker. You're not the quickest player in the world.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yep.
So you're talking. You were talking once I get to the ball, though, aren't you? Like not between shots.
Well, between shots, we're sitting in a cart together.
Yeah, but even when we're walking, I'm normally the one sort of up in front. But yeah, okay, you're right. Yeah. Yep. Noted.
And well, not that I could change it, but it's eliminate that real bad one. eliminate the shot that costs you three shots would be, I don't know how I would do that, but that's what, and you've said the same thing. If you can just eliminate that real bad one, makes all the difference in the world.
I would like to do that as well, but I'm very interested on the speed things up thing. I'll take note of that. I'm glad that question got sent in. I'm happy to take that on board.
Speaking of
questions, before you go on to the next one, I just got one sent in just now. My phone lit up from Rowan Graham, fixer, saying, forgot to mention Shattered With No Podcast. What's the story? I'll just do a quick, actually recording right now. Shout out to you, Fix. Righto. Okay, moving on. Do you want to change something else about me? What are you fucking at?
No, not at all. No, that was it. No.
Righto.
All right, now we said the Chili Dippers love their food. What's your signature dish to cook?
Signature dish.
This is also from Ian.
Yep. All right. Not sure this is a dish, it's a side. On my stuffed mushrooms, I get the big field mushrooms.
I have had dinner at your place hundreds of times.
Yeah.
Not once has stuffed mushrooms been mentioned. What's going on?
Oh, mate, I cook stuffed mushrooms for all my good friends.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, I get the big mushrooms. I cut up the stem. I get a bit of capsicum, some chopped up bacon. Cook all that up. Mix it in with some either feta or some sour cream, and I put that into the mushroom. Bit of cheese on top. Grill that, and it is delectable. I've even got pictures on Instagram of me feeding it to my special friends.
That's very ordinary from you.
The other one probably an egg and bacon pie. I learned that from my mum because my favourite dish of all time is my mum's egg and bacon pie.
What sort of weird egg loaf cooking machine that you use at breakfast sometimes?
Oh, not the egg rolly.
Yeah, the egg rolling.
It produces an egg on a stick. Egg on a stick.
Yeah, that's it.
Should be more things on a stick.
Yeah, more things on a stick. yep, all right.
And let's see if you've cooked me your signature dish.
I think I have. I do and look at everyone, I do a spaghetti bolognese.
Never had it.
But add a few. People just don't put enough in the sauce. They don't put enough extras. They just let the sauce do the stuff. But I'll add heaps I might even add Vegemite or and tomato sauce and Worcestershire sauce and garlic and turmeric and all that sort of stuff. But I used to cook a lot. I don't do much anymore. I've got food eating down to it's fuel rather than.
What's the one you reckon you've cooked me?
I've cooked you a spaghetti bolognese. And you loved it.
Did I?
I might have even put cashew nuts in it. That would have been my little...
Oh, I wouldn't have loved it if it was cashew. I don't reckon cashew nuts should be in hot food.
Yeah, no, they're... Oh, cashew nuts on pizza, beautiful.
Mm.
No. All right, so while we're at the home, we'll do one more from Ian while we've got him here.
Yep.
What's the most underrated home appliance?
Oh, I think that's pretty easy. Yeah, it's got to be microwave. It's the not just home. It's the most underrated thing on the planet.
You reckon microwaves? Wow.
What it does for I don't know how they make it for the price. How they make a microwave? Like you can go to Target or Kmart and buy a microwave for $45-$50.
Yep, absolutely. Yep.
And for how often and you use them, they never seem to break down.
No, I've never heard of. Yeah, you're right. I've never heard of the microwave not working.
I'll tell you what did happen one day. I had a microwave. You know most of them have the glass circular tray on the inside and you put it spins around. Someone smashed my one of those one day. And do you think I could get another? I have to buy a new friggin' microwave. You can't get replacements.
Oh, yeah.
So I ended up buying the one I'm rocking now doesn't actually have one. It's just a flatbed confection one that just you just sit the food in there. It actually took me a while to get used to putting stuff in there without sitting on the glass.
When you talk about replacements... Look, my brother said microwaves have got that cheap now. He doesn't clean his; he just buys a new one.
That's what I'm talking about. And after the amount of times you use them, I reckon they are unbelievable.
Yeah, no, fair enough. Good call. Yeah, look, I had the toaster.
Yeah.
I think the toaster again to make getting bread warm, that's simple and easy, and for how often you use it. Again, you can get a toaster for $8 sort of thing.
You bought me one when you wrecked me really expensive one.
Me?
Yeah.
I don't remember doing that.
Yeah, you bought me a toaster. It was when you were staying at my place. Something happened to the toaster and you bought me a new one.
How did I break your good one?
I don't know. I wasn't there.
No, again, in my memory, don't remember breaking it and don't remember buying you a new one.
Yep, you definitely bought me a new one, which I was grateful of that you bought me a new one. But when I moved to the next house, I got rid of that one and bought another one.
All right. Yeah, so you got rid of the present I bought you.
Had to clean it.
Yeah, fair enough. Yep. What time we at there, boss?
26 minutes, so we've got time for one more.
All right, I've got a question to you from Timmy Rogers. Do you know Timmy Rogers?
Timmy Rogers? No, I don't, but shout out to you, Timmy Rogers.
He's one of the New Zealanders I've met over here. He's probably the best bloke I've met over here.
Right.
And I've played golf with Timmy a few times. Timmy's one of those blokes who was a top-class cricketer, like a proper good cricketer, and he plays golf like a cricketer. He's pretty good, pretty handy. He hits a wedge higher than anyone in the history of the world. Yeah. I remember in previous shows we've talked about bad putters. I forgot about Timmy. He's the worst putter in history. if you say, I'll pick that up, yeah, that's a gimme.
Yeah.
You're only 6 inches, you always just knock it in anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
You say to Timmy, pick it up, you've never seen a man pick up a golf ball quicker. He will, even from 2 inches, if you say, I'll pick it up, he will not just tap it in for the, he will pick it up every time. Now, Timmy was the guy I went to Las Vegas with a while ago.
Okay.
And he actually got into some trouble. He didn't, Las Vegas sort of chewed him up and spit him out a little bit, poor Timmy. So Timmy's sent me a question. He said, golf is all about staying out of trouble. Can you give me some life advice about how to stay out of trouble? Timmy gets into a bit of mischief and he probably needs a bit of straightening up.
Right.
So there you go. Have you got any advice for Timmy about staying out of trouble?
Staying out of trouble, just in life.
I would run the classic by him. Look, is it nothing good happens after midnight, or you can roll it out to 1 o'clock?
Yeah, you can roll it out to 1 o'clock, I think.
Nothing good happens after 1 o'clock, though, does it? You never gone home at 1 o'clock and thought, geez, that would have been better if I stayed out till three, have you?
Not too often.
But plenty of times you've stayed out to three and thought, fuck, I should have went home 2 hours earlier.
Yeah.
Yeah, yep. So that, and probably just be a little bit more of who you're hanging around with there too, Timmy. That might help you a little bit too.
Yep. And even just keep when you're out and about, keep to yourself, I reckon, too. Like if there's a bit of trouble going on, don't try to get up and have a look what's going on. Just sort of keep your head down, do your own thing. And not too many people will bother you if you're not doing, not getting in their road.
Yeah. That might help. Yeah, well, that said, Timmy does like to make friends. I think we're in Los Angeles, and the first night, again, I would have went home at midnight. Timmy showed up at about 2 o'clock the next afternoon. He ended up at an 80-year-old man's house up on the hills in a $4 million house, just drinking like a $300 bottle of scotch with this 80-year-old dude out in the middle of nowhere. And doesn't know him, doesn't know how he got there, doesn't know how he got home. That's sort of the mischief Timmy would get into.
I think I might have heard that story.
Yeah, there's a little bit more to it that I won't embarrass Timmy with right at the moment.
Fair enough. Actually, I just want to quickly change the subject just before I think. So I think I've been trying to get this in the last couple of pods. You know when we played Sandringham and we were saying how we drove and we were looking at Royal Melbourne thinking how good it was and we thought it was it, and then we played Sandringham, we thought, with a bit better conditioning. Yeah. Apparently Sandringham used to, don't hold me to this, somebody told me who does know a bit back off. Apparently Sandringham, the back nine, used to be part of Royal Melbourne, used to cross the road there. So that's probably why they do look a little bit alike.
Oh, well, there you go. No, I was unaware of that.
Yeah, sorry, not to change that. That just came to me then. And I thought, I want to get that in because that was pretty interesting, I thought.
Yep. Fair enough.
All right, so we're pushing the 30-minute mark. Have you got any more questions or want to get to anything else before we wrap this one up?
No, I'm just about done. I didn't have anything else there.
All right, so if you could pick one, let's get back onto the US Open. If you could pick one person right now, let's have a $10 lotto bet. Highest place finisher, and I'll let you pick first.
All right, I'm picking me boy Bryce DeChambeau.
Good. He's good. All right. Well, I'll go my boy Ricky Fowler.
All right. No worries. We'll have a bit on that.
That's our one and done $10 or $15 lotto. It used to be a $10 lotto bet. You can't get the $11 ones anymore. They're probably going to start changing to a $15 lotto bet.
Yeah, she's a $15-y.
All right, so we'll wrap this up. We'll get another one out next week, but we're going to, like Rolls, like you mentioned earlier, we're going on a little Queensland trip soon, so we'll have some good content to get out while we're up there. Might even be a little bit of a Topgolf sighting.
We'll get a few real good courses in and Topgolf and a few things. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that, mate. It's the only thing keeping me going at the moment.
Topgolf actually opens tomorrow. Oh, speaking of Topgolf, just quickly on the weekend, drove past Kerr Lewis and stopped in at the new, they call it the range at Kerr Lewis. They got a new big driving range there with like goalposts and big massive targets and all that out there, but it backs onto like a licensed cafe and restaurant and one of the coolest little mini golf courses that I've actually seen in a long time. I might try to just get up on our Instagram page, just the mini golf part of it, because it was really impressive. So we're going to have to get there. Next time we do a little Torquay trip, we'll get there and we'll review the mini golf course.
Yeah, look good. The pictures I've seen look really good. Yeah, I actually can't wait to get there. That'll be cool.
Yeah, it actually had its own, like the mini golf course has its own putting, like warm-up section, like, you know, like, oh. Yeah, it was pretty, it just looked unreal. Like I said to you, it didn't have the big caves or windmills, or it just looked like a real life Lynx course, and that you were a giant and you were just walking around it. Like, it looked really cool.
That'll be cool, yeah. You know, he said, no, good mini. We might even get a game of mini golf up when we're in Queensland in the next couple of weeks, but that'll be real good.
That will be good. All right. One thing we're going to start doing, I've added you to the admin of the Facebook page, so we might start getting a few more little Facebook things. So if you haven't, I keep saying if you haven't already, send us in some questions, but jump on Facebook and follow or like the Chili Dippers Facebook page so that you do get a few reminders when we're, because a lot of people are sending me messages going, where was the pod? We put it up on Instagram, but I've had a couple of people say they don't check Instagram. So we'll start putting stuff like that up on Facebook as well, because obviously a lot more people are on that and check that. So if you're not, get on there and follow that, and Rolls will be putting a few little tidbits out there. You happy with that?
Yeah, my dear. We'll sort that out. That'll be no worries.
All right. We'll leave that here. So yeah, jump on Facebook, check that out. We might hand it over to Bruce Hornsby and The Range.
So much.
Chili Dippers out.
I'm driving down the highway, headed to the range. Gonna knock 'em out strong, but I'm feeling no pain. Got an old brown bag, big sticky on the back, where the grass don't grow. Gonna take a few hacks. There's a place for you if you're just like me. I'm Chad Rich, yelling at the TV. You have another cool one, but it won't hurt. Got myself a big stick swinging in the dirt. I got a two-bit job with a little bit of pay, but I feel no pressure, couple lessons a day. We're working on the swing and talking trash. Take another good hit, try to make it last. There's a place for you if you're just like me. I'm chair boys yelling at the TV. 20 boys in a row, I'm red shirts. Got myself a big stick swinging in the dirt.
I sent you those pictures of those cars the other day.
Yeah.
I was thinking, I really liked the Captiva, the white Holden Captiva.
Mm.
I thought, I need to have a look at one. And I said to myself, there's none in New Zealand. I haven't seen one since I've been here. I wonder if there's any. Do you think I've seen any other fucking car on the road? Every second car is a Holden Captiva since I've said that. It is fucking amazing that I reckon in 4 years, I had not noticed one, and now fuck, every time I'm at the lights, I'm surrounded by a dozen of them.
It's insane. Yeah. Same with when you buy a car or you're looking for one, same thing. They are just everywhere after you've bought one.
Yeah, no, when you bought, because you change cars and all that sort of stuff. Yeah, every time, the same with your Mazda and your Jeep Cherokee. I just used to see them everywhere after you bought them.
Yeah.
But yeah, this Holden Captiva thing, it freaked me out because, as I said, I didn't think I'd seen one at all.
Yeah.
And now I've seen millions of them.